I've got a question for you. I've got a sermonette. I don't want to go too long today because I'm hungry. I'm going to give you a sermonette. I just feel like asking this question, and I'm asking myself as well. As I look in the mirror, just how well do I know him? How well do you know him? Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, as we ask ourselves this question today, we're saying, how well do we know Jesus? And Lord, for all of us who have an honest answer to that, we'll probably be under conviction of the Holy Spirit to the extent that we realize we need to know you better. And on the flip side, you'll find that we are very delighted, pleased, encouraged, and blessed to realize that we know you as much as we do. Lord, we're satisfied with this unsatisfied satisfaction. There's just something in me and something in the Christian that's crying out, more of God, more of God, more of God. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. I have a lovely lady that I live with, been with her now over 51 years. Now, the miracle in that is that I'm only 39. 39 years and several months. Well, a lot of months. But I know her quite well. Wouldn't you agree? By what little you know about me, wouldn't you say I probably know her pretty well? Well, now, she sent me on a mission on Friday. She asked me to do her banking. She always does the banking. Many years ago, I learned if I was going to save the marriage, I was going to have to turn over the money to her, because I didn't know how to handle it. When I turned it over to her, we started crawling out of a dark hole of debt. So anyway, she manages the money, does all the banking. But she asked me on Friday if I'd do a favor and take a deposit into the bank. And because of the nature of the deposit, it needed to go inside the bank rather than the drop box. So sure, I'll go in. I had my paint clothes on. I'd been painting here at the church up in the water leak there in the corner. And I thought, well, if they don't care if I come in the bank all covered in paint, I'll do this. So I did. Anyway, I go in and I hand the young lady, I'd never seen this young lady before, but I handed her the deposit. And as soon as she saw the name, she said, oh, you must be Calvin. Yes, am I in trouble? She says, Barbara usually does all the banking. I said, yes. She asked me to do it today. So anyway, we had a friendly little introduction to one another. And I found out her name is Nicole. And we talked a bit while she's taking care of the business. And it was, nice to meet you and nice to know and put a face with a name and la, la, la. And so I know Barbara quite well, and now I know Nicole a little bit. And why do I bring this up? Because I want you to follow me on this. What makes the difference in our relationship? My relationship to Barbara, my relationship to Nicole, what's the difference? 51 years. And as I thought about this, I heard the Lord speaking these things to my heart. He said, there's a lot of people that meet me, and that's it. They go through life saying, well, I know Jesus. And he says, yeah, we're acquainted. We met at the bank. But Jesus is saying, I don't know them. They're telling everybody they know Jesus, but they haven't talked to me since our introduction. Interesting. You know, you don't know K-N-O-W with highlights. You don't know Jesus by meeting him once. You know Jesus by spending time with him. I thought, I'll go to Webster's Dictionary and I'll go to Strong's Concordance and I'm going to do some research on this word know. K-N-O-W, it couldn't be that big. Wow, is it ever a big word? It's just huge. The definitions are huge. And then if you go to the synonyms, they're huge. And if you go to the Hebrew and the Greek, it's huge. You know, it's huge. I know Nicole, and I know Barbara, but the two no's are as far like daylight and dark. Okay? And it's the same way as you approach the word no in the Bible, where it means in one scripture may be daylight to dark in comparison to how it means its definition in another scripture. Turn to Exodus 33, please. Exodus 33, and we're going to start reading in verse number 9. We're going to read 9 to 23. Is that going to come up? Exodus 33, 9 to 23. Yeah, there it is in black and white. It came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar of the cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. Let's just keep going, lest I stop you. All the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door. All the people rose up and worshiped, each man in his tent door. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. And Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said," Moses says, "Lord, you have said, I know you by name. And you've also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you and that I might find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I'll give you rest." And then Moses says to him, "If your presence does not go with us, don't bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are on the face of the earth." So the Lord said to Moses, "I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name." He said, "Please show me your glory." I like the old King James rendering of that. It says, "I beseech thee, show me your glory." And God says, "I'll make all my goodness pass before you. I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. I'll have compassion on to whom I have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live." And the Lord said, "Here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be when my glory passes by that I'll put you in the cleft of the rock. I'll cover you with my hand while I pass by. And then I'll take away my hand, and you shall see my backside, but my face shall not be seen." Why did I read all this? I want you to realize Moses had a relationship with God. And in the midst of the explanation of all this relationship that he had with God, Moses is still wanting more. He says, "But Lord, I want to see your glory. Lord, I thank you that you have found favor in my life. And I thank you that you know my name. But Lord, I want to see your glory. Did you know Jesus knows your name? But wouldn't you like to see his glory? Wouldn't you like to see some glory? You know, Moses was born as a Hebrew, adopted by an Egyptian queen. Everybody knows the story, I'm sure. But then, even though he was adopted by the Egyptian queen, he was nursed by his birth mother. So as a child, we know he was prayed over and taught God's word. He grows up and ends up, after many things transpire in his life, he ends up in hundreds of miles away from where he was raised, and he ends up marrying the daughter of a priest. And that's during those days is when he met God at the burning bush. Now that's something we really enjoy looking at, thinking about, you know, the bush that burned but was not consumed, and Moses gets close to it, and it's like, come on, I've seen lightning strike a bush lots of times in this desert, but come on, bush, you're still there. What's the deal? And he gets a little closer, and God speaks, Moses. You know, God always uses that tone of voice. Moses, take your shoes off your own holy ground. Amazing. What a relationship. He hears the word of God and the instructions of the Lord during those days, and he goes back to Egypt and performs amazing miracles and puts the Egyptians through all the plagues and brings deliverance to the people of Israel, who had been in bondage for 470 years in slavery, and they finally get set free. What a relationship. I mean, the guy has such a relationship with God. He can throw his shepherd's rod down, turns into a snake, and grab it by the tail, and it turns into a rod. Whew. This guy's got a relationship with God. He comes to the Red Sea. The Egyptian army is getting ready to wipe them all out, and they can't go anywhere because they're backed up against the wall of the sea. Moses takes his rod and says, be parted in the name of the Lord. The sea parts. The people of God go across on dry land. The Egyptians try to follow them, and the sea comes back together and drowns them all. Talk about relationship. Moses had some relation with God. They get out in the desert, and they get thirsty, and here we got a million plus people. They're about to die of thirst, and Moses goes up and whops a rock with his rod, and enough water comes out to water the whole bunch, all their animals. Must have been a ton of water. The man had a relationship with God. And yet during this wilderness experience, as they're out there, you know, trying to get from Egypt to Canaan land, they go through all these things, and he's up there on the mountain visiting with God during a 40-day fast. Maybe that's a good way to visit with God. In the middle of a 40-day fast, he says, Lord, I want to thank you that I found grace and favor in before you, and I want to thank you that you know my name. Yeah, I want to thank you that you talk to me man to man, face to face. Lord, I want some more. I want some more. I haven't had enough. I feel an addiction gnawing on me. I got to have more of God. I want that addiction. I want that addiction. I don't want to be a mediocre, lukewarm Christian. I want the addiction of needing more of God. I want that. I long for that. I crave that. I beseech thee, I beg thee, please, Lord, let me see your glory. Man, he had seen the miracles. He had seen untold miracles. He wanted more. How well do I know God? Look at Psalms 95. Psalms 95, verse 6 through 11. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, today, if you'll hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. That is the day of Moses in the wilderness. When your fathers tested me and they tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years, God speaking here, for 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it's a people who go astray in their hearts. They do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Remember what we just talked about? Yeah, you do. Moses, relationship with God, miracles, phenomenal, supernatural, wild and wonderful. And yet his congregation were rebellious for the most part. The majority of them weren't interested in doing the God thing. They weren't interested in more of God. Moses is crying out for more of God, crying out for the glory of God, and the children of Israel were rebellious against the things of God, wanted to do their own thing. Most of them spent half their time begging to go back to Egypt. They would rather be in slavery. Moses was one in a million. Thinking of the troop that he was with, he was one in a million. Everybody else is wanting to play games with God, wanting to do their own thing, wanting to go back to Egypt, you know. Moses said, I got to have more God. I want some glory. I want more than just to be known by his name. I want to know him. It's nice that he knows me. Now I want to know him and see his glory. We can taste the blessing of the Lord and say, oh, that was nice. Now let me get on with life. I'll talk to God next time the need arises. Is that our relationship with God? We just talk to him when the need arises? Boy, he's merciful, isn't he? How many times have we found ourselves talking to God when the need arises and he answers a prayer and you realize, whoa, the goodness of God brings me to repentance. Why haven't I been serving God all along? Here I out there doing my own thing, got myself in trouble, and God actually rescued me. He's done that for me and you. We can talk to God next time we need him, or we can yield to the wooings of the Holy Spirit and seek the face of God now. I believe that if we'll stop for just a moment in our day walk, stop for just a moment wherever we are and listen in our heart, we will hear the wooings of the Holy Spirit saying, come closer, come closer, come closer, come closer. Let's do some New Testament stuff. What do you say? Matthew 7. Matthew 7, 21 and 22, 21, 22 and 23. Jesus is speaking here, okay? We need to get us a program that has red letter. Wouldn't that be cool? And you'd like in the Bible, and you know when Jesus is speaking. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied your name? Cast out demons? Hey! Peter, you're so awesome. Just call the high school, Douglas High School tech man. He can fix anything. Yeah. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And then I'll declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. What was wrong with this relationship? They thought they had God wrapped around their little finger. They thought they knew him. He said, I don't even know you. Evidently, they had been out there doing things on their own. Doing things somehow just because they thought it needed to be done, or because, I don't know, because the offerings were good when they got, you know, held the revival. I don't get it. It's like, how can they do all these wonderful things in the name of the Lord? And he says, I don't even know you. And then there's the key there, the last part of the last verse, he says, lawlessness. You may have been doing things in my name. You may have been doing wonderful things, but there was lawlessness in your life. In other words, you weren't serving me. You were not obeying me. You didn't know my word. You didn't obey my word. Lawlessness. Evidently, there was a lawlessness, an iniquity, a sin involved in their life. Even though they thought they were doing all the right stuff, there was something wrong with the relationship called lawlessness. If we're going to know the Lord, we have to clean up our act, I suppose. Look at John 8, 13 through 19. John 8, 13 through 19. Let's go through that. The Pharisees, okay, before I get any further, the Pharisees were the most religious, the most educated, the most well-learned in the Hebrew laws of anyone. I mean, these guys, they went to the ultimate degree in trying to know about God. But there was a problem. They knew about him, but they didn't know him. The Pharisees said to Jesus, you bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. For I know where I came from and where I'm going, but you do not know where I came from or where I'm going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. And yet if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I'm not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. It's also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness with me. And then they said to Jesus, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Here we have church folk, Pharisees, super educated in the religion of the day. It is said, I have heard, that they actually studied some portions of the scripture like frontwards and backwards. They could quote by memory huge volumes of scripture. They knew everything there was to know about God, but they didn't know God. And here Jesus says, you guys didn't know me, that's why you don't know my Father. And you don't know my Father, that's why you don't know me. How religious am I? Is my religion getting in the way of my relationship? Do I think because I know the Bible real well that that's all I need? I want to know Jesus personally. Yes, I want to know his word. Yes, I want to study his word. Yes, I want to know what's written about him. But I want to know the man personally. I want to communicate with him. I want to hear him, and I want him to hear me. I want to be close to my Jesus. In Philippians 3, Paul the Apostle. We talked about the Pharisees. Before Paul's conversion to Christianity, he was one of the Pharisees. He was one of these lawyers of the law. And in Philippians 3, 3 through 14, We're going to read several verses about Paul's experience with all this. I think we are. Yes. Paul speaking. He'd been talking to concerning the Jews and the circumcision and all these sort of thing. And he says, we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus. Whoops. Can I go back? I didn't quite. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. In other words, at one point in his life, he had more confidence in the flesh than anybody. He's talking of himself now. He said, I was circumcised the eighth day. I'm of the stock of Israel. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. Concerning the law, I was a Pharisee. This guy was the ultimate character in the law of the day, the religious law of the day. And concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Concerning the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. The guy lived by the book. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. He gained. You know, we go to school to gain. You know, we get our degrees, right? Go to school to gain. Well, we went to the school of the law of Moses to gain. And now he said, I'll give that all up for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, all of his education, all of his religion. He suffered the loss of it all. And I count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. How would you like to go to college, you know, to Bible school and really get all the degrees, and then Jesus comes along and there's no comparison. You go with Jesus and you say, all that other stuff's just rubbish. That's what happened with Paul. And if I be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may what? That I may know him. He's gave it all up. All the religion, all the training. He gave up all the titles, all the letters after his name. He gave it up that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and even the fellowship of his sufferings, be conformed to his death. If by any means that I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, all that religion, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, Jesus, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. How well do we know Jesus? Is our knowledge of him, is our relationship with him, is our acquaintance with him all religious? Or do we count that as rubbish? Because my relationship with the person is so rich. Because my relationship, as Paul would say, my relationship with the man is so awesome, everything else fades away in comparison. Maybe we should go to, did I list Matthew 25, 1 through 13? Yes, let's do that. I didn't know if I had put that one on or not. Jesus speaking again, then the kingdom of heaven should be likened to 10 virgins, took their lamps and went out. Boy, we're going through this one in a hurry. Did you get it? You guys sure do read fast. Then the kingdom of heaven should be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Now, that part scares me. Does that mean five of us are half of us are wise and half are foolish? That's scary. Those that were foolish took their lamps, but took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out. The wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and for you, but go rather to those that sell. Buy it for yourself. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. He answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Ooh. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Here we have an interesting overview of 10 people who say they serve the Lord, of 10 people who say we're virgins before God, of 10 people who say we're part of the church. Half of them were foolish. And Jesus said, I don't know you. There was something wrong with their relationship. The outward appearance of their relationship, all 10 looked the same to me. In the beginning, I'm sure all 10 looked the same to anyone, but there was something wrong with the relationship. Half of them didn't have the oil signifying the Holy Spirit. Half of them did not have the movement and the actions and the blessing of the Holy Spirit in their lives. They were vacant on the inside. And when it came time to meet the bridegroom, he said, I don't know you guys. The reason he didn't know them is because they didn't know him. They thought they did. They were doing all the right things. After all, they went to the right church. They put their money in the offering. You know, they served on the committee. But there was something wrong with the relationship. And Jesus said, I don't know you. Now, I've shared these things with you today because my own heart has been under conviction. Yeah. And if your heart's under conviction today, then we have succeeded in hearing from the Lord through this little sermonette. Folks, our religion won't get us to heaven. Our good looks won't get us to heaven. Having your car parked in front of the right church won't get you to heaven. We have to know Him. Let's all stand to our feet. Let's pray. Lord, we've seen by your word today in the Old Testament and in the New, we've seen some pictures here of your people. We've seen some pictures here of those who say they know you. Those who say to the world, we serve God, or we are Christian. But Lord, we see here that a number of people who look right on the outside had something wrong on the inside. Evidently, there was hidden sins in the heart of these men and women. Hidden sins that the church didn't see. Hidden sins that the world didn't see. Evidently, there was hidden sins, lawlessness, iniquity. There was something on the inside, lack of the Holy Spirit in their lives. There was something on the inside that didn't add up. And Lord, I for one would like to repent today. I say I love the Lord. I say I know the Lord. I say I'm hungry for God. I say I'm going to serve God. But Lord, is there any part of me today that needs to be changed, adjusted, cleaned up, come into line, come under the law of your love? Lord, is there anything in me today that I need to repent of? And Lord, I speak for this lovely people that's here with us today, Lord. all of us in this room need to be praying this prayer. Lord, I want more of you and less of me. I want more of you and less of religion. I want more of you, Lord. I want to know you face to face. I want to see your glory. I want to see your glory. Lord, you did not show your glory to the multitudes. You showed your glory to the man who sought for it. And Lord, in this day and time, I don't see you showing your glory to the multitudes. I see you only showing your glory to those people like Moses that will seek for the glory. Lord, forgive us where we come short. Forgive us of our sins, our faults, shortcomings. And please forgive us, Lord, for those religious ideas that make us think everything's all right when we haven't even talked to you for 3 days. Lord, we repent for lethargy and laziness. We repent for wanting to do our thing, live our own life, and just call on you when we need you. Lord, we repent for that attitude. We say, Lord, give us a hunger, a daily hunger, a moment-to-moment hunger for more of the glory of God. Father, in Jesus' name, show us your glory, sir. Show us your glory. Help us to press on towards the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. The prize of the high calling. Lord, I don't begin to know what all that represents, but in my heart today, the prize of the high calling is to have relationship with you. The reward in heaven is to have the relationship with you. Lord, I want that relationship. I want to know my God. I want to be able to tell the world I've had an experience. I want to be able to share with the church I've had an experience. I don't want to just be called a Christian. I want to be a Christian. I don't want to be called a follower of Christ. I want to be a follower of Christ. Lord, I want to know you. Lord, I pray that you put a hunger in our hearts, an unsatisfied satisfaction that craves Jesus, that craves your presence, that craves the relationship that knows you. Father, in Jesus' name, our hearts cry out today. More of you, less of me. More of you, less of me. More of you, less of me. Thank you, Father, for loving us, being patient with us. Thank you for your word that's challenging us this morning. If anyone wants to come and get prayer, I'm going to ask Barbara to join me, and we would invite you to come. Anyone that needs prayer for any reason, just please come on up. Please come on up. The Lord wants to meet your need. Anything stirring in your heart today that's saying, I need prayer, well, let's pray about that. We're here for you today. Jesus is here for you today. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you that we can know you, that we can have a personal relationship with our Jesus, a personal relationship, a personal relationship, a personal relationship. And even with that personal relationship and within that sweetness that we share, Lord, a hunger, we want more hunger for you. Lord, if we're busy being hungry for you, we'll be giving less attention to the things of the world. We want to be hungry for you, Lord. Hungry for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just worship him for a moment. Just give yourself.